time to join our Vatican expert, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome, Joan Lewis. So, Joan, welcome back to the show. Let's begin, as always, with the Pope's Angelus.
Yeah, in our overview of the week, we have to look at the Angelus, and Pope talked about something that was actually the big news of the week here.
The weather.
Exactly, yeah. The weather.
Snowed in Rome.
We recorded our show, and heavens opened up, and that white stuff fell for, 24 hours or something like that. And Rome had not seen snow like this in 26 years, so, of course, they were not ready. We don't get snow here. So you don't have the right number of snow plows, and you don't have the salt, and cars have to have chains or snow tires, and nobody was ready. What I loved, other than being closed in my house because of the ice, all the sidewalks were sheer ice, I loved the silence. Snow itself, muffles sounds. But there were hardly any cars for, I think it was 48 hours, no buses. The motorbikes were not allowed. So it was a blessing, and the Holy Father did refer to that at the Angelus. He said, snow is beautiful, but let's hope that spring comes soon. Well, of course, that was the end of the Angelus. The rest of it was dedicated to the gospel narration of Jesus' healing of St. Peter's mother-in-law and many other sick people in Capernaum. And the Pope noted how the evangelists all agree on one thing, that along with preaching healing from sickness and infirmities of all kinds, that was the main activity of Jesus, but he also came to defeat evil, to heal souls. And this, of course, he achieved through his death and resurrection. And then speaking of healing, the Pope recalled that February 11th, which is on our calendar, in coming days, it's the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes and the World Day of the Sick. And then last Sunday, Italy marked, as they always do at this time of year, the Day of Life. So another thing that was really kind of interesting about the Pope's Angelus was there was a fairly small crowd of 10,000 people, because normally there's probably at least twice that. But it was cold. It was icy. It was very difficult to walk. It was impossible to drive. But the Holy Father had a nice, warm, white overcoat as he appeared at the window, which was a very wise thing to do. So
on Tuesday, then, there was the Lenten message. We're moving ahead in the liturgical year, aren't we? We're almost getting there.
Yes, exactly. It's very interesting. The Pontifical Council Cor Unum traditionally helps in preparing this message. The Holy Father will choose a theme. They will help the Holy Father put this message together. And this year, for the 2012 Lenten message, the theme is, let us be concerned for each other to stir a response in love and good works.
So spiritual responsibility rather than the idea of charity, which obviously stays with him.
Of course, and that's a part of the three things, the almsgiving and so forth, that we do in Lent. But Cardinal Sarah of the Council, who presented this message, he said, there's another aspect of Christian life that this year's text highlights. And he said, fraternal correction. And he said, charity teaches us we're responsible, as you just alluded to, not only for the material well-being of others, but also for their moral and spiritual good. And then I thought it was fascinating. He said, we can't overlook the fact that a certain ideology that exalts the rights of the individual can have the consequence of creating isolation and solitude. And that's how we can help each other. We can rediscover our reciprocal responsibility for each other. So that's obviously the Lenten message in a nutshell. But you know what? These messages, they're always posted in different languages on the Vatican website. It's easy for anyone to access. And they're never that long. An encyclical may be long. Usually a message such as that for Communications Day or for Lent, they're never that long. And I really urge readers to go on and listen to the Holy Father's words, because Benedict is a wonderful teacher. And he teaches in terms that we can all relate to. And sometimes he uses almost a parable-like method to get his point across. So I urge people to read that.
And moving on, Wednesday General Audience, which he held indoors, of course.
Yes. And he's been dedicating, I don't know how many weeks it is now, but the Pope has been dedicating a catechesis. A catechesis can last weeks or months or even a year on some issues. He's been dedicating it to prayer, and lately to prayers by Jesus And I guess we don't think of Jesus praying, although we hear of him often going off into quiet places or mountain retreats to pray in solitude and silence. But the Pope talked about Jesus's cry from the cross, where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was really wonderful. The Pope explained, it does sound like this is a cry. I mean, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Is he this desperate? And the Pope says it's important to realize that Jesus' cry of anguish is not an expression of despair. On the contrary, this is an opening verse of Psalm 22, he said. It expresses the confidence of the people of Israel that despite all the adversity they continue to experience, God remains present among them. He hears and answers people's cry. And I think many of us often, when we pray, we ask the Lord for a certain favor or something, and hopefully we remember to thank him. But we ask the Lord for a certain favor, and it's like, oh gosh, he's not listening or he's not answering. He may not answer something exactly as we hope for. He'll be there. He is there. And he hears every single prayer that we say. And that basically was the Holy Father's message in that audience. And it's very interesting. At the end of the audience, as we know, the catechesis is always in several languages, a reduced version of the principal catechesis in French and English and German and so forth. And then sometimes, if circumstances in the world warrant it, the Holy Father makes an appeal. And this is exactly what he did Wednesday, and it was an appeal for solidarity with victims of the current period of extremely cold weather in Europe. Anybody who's been following this in the news knows. I think it's over 450 people now in Europe have died, most in Eastern Europe, and the greatest number of all of those actually in Ukraine. And I know it's 40-plus deaths in Italy alone from the cold.
Yeah.
Oh, extraordinary, exactly. Well, there are still towns as we speak that have been a week now without electricity. And advice is going out over the radio how to go out and collect wood and, you know, in a fireplace if you have one. And people who have wood-burning stoves, there still are some people around. But anyway, the Holy Father kind of urged solidarity with all these people, expressed his closeness to them, and he asked for prayers for the victims, and we know there were many. But he said mainly he encouraged people to show solidarity so that these people receive generous assistance. But, I mean, even in Rome, those people who could get to a grocery store found fairly long lines, a lot of stuff being taken off the shelf. People didn't know when the next time was that the...
The sort of domino effect, people panic, don't they? Under these circumstances.
Exactly. But, you know, we don't have much time left, but there was a very important conference this week at the Gregorian University. This was not a Vatican conference, not a Vatican organized. Vatican participated and encouraged it, but it was a conference for bishops and leaders of religious congregations and orders on the sex abuse crisis called Healing and Renewal. And
it's organized by the Jesuits. Gregorian University.
Exactly. And so it was a 4-day conference and entitled, as I said, Towards Healing and Renewal. And the conference was intended to build on a circular letter that came out last May by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith that requested all dioceses within a year, by May of 2012, to develop procedures for assisting the victims of such abuse and for educating the ecclesial community. But I mean, we could do an entire separate show, of course we don't have time, on the themes that have emerged, victims' stories that have been told, the responsibility being
strong
put.
Strong witnesses.
And the responsibility of bishops, where does the buck stop? You know, the buck stops here, as President Truman said many years ago in America. Where does the buck stop? But the fact that bishops have to be in agreement and work with civil authorities when it comes to it. But it depends on laws in different countries. I spoke to an archbishop from Bangladesh, and he told me there are no laws in their country because they don't have anything like this. They haven't had any kind of an avalanche or experience, so there are no civil laws that say you must report, whether it's a priest or a teacher or whatever, that you must report someone. So you're going to find even that the laws differ from country to country, from culture to culture. But from talking to people, from reading the various speeches, powerful, powerful things were said. The feeling is very, very positive. Bishops and religious leaders are going home with a renewed sense of, as the title says, healing and renewal. No one feels good about what happened or why there has to be a symposium, but they do feel good about what's come out of the symposium.
Dealing with this issue.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Joan. See you next week then.
All righty.
Well, you were listening there, as always, at this time of week to Joan Lewis, our Vatican expert and EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.